be back here amongst you. I've been on many adventures in the last 4 months, and you're going to get sick of hearing about them over the next number of months. And it's wonderful to be here and to join in our adventure as we begin our sixth year together at St. John's. One of the adventures I had was that I was in England for 10 days and Scotland for 3.5 weeks in May and June. And I planned the trip, obviously, myself. I was traveling on my own. And one of the things I planned was that the last week, I would spend time on the island of Iona. Now, Iona is a holy place, a thin place, that has been worshipped on for hundreds and thousands of years. It is known especially because St. Columba started a monastery there many years ago. And so millions of people literally travel to Iona to experience the thinness of the place there. And I have wanted to go to Iona for about, I don't know, over 20 years. And so this was my opportunity. And I planned it during the last week because I thought, what a great place to be as I take everything that happened and integrate it into my life and to have just a space and a time to think about things as a retreat before I came back to Canada. Well, when you plan things by yourself, you've got to understand that things don't always work out the way you expect them to. And there's no one else to blame if things go wrong. You can't say, oh, you idiot. Well, you can, but you're talking to yourself. You planned something that you really didn't work out so well, or you took the wrong flight, or you did the wrong whatever. So off I went to Iona, and I was in Oban in Scotland, when then you take a ferry, and then a bus, and then a ferry, and then you end up on Iona. So we got there, settled in at the Scottish Episcopal Bishop's house, which was beautiful, overlooking the sea, and settled in to meeting the people in the retreat that were there with me. And I hated it. It took me 48 hours of hating it until I got to a different place. Why did I hate a beautiful, thin place like Iona? It is gorgeous. Lots of walks, beautiful beaches, all sorts of amazing things going on there. But it was the fifth week of travel. And I learned that we all reach a limit, minus 4 weeks. Anyhow, so I went home, I'm there, I'm checked in, I'm supposedly having a holy time, and the cruise ships arrive. And hundreds of people get off. Hundreds of people arrive by ferry because they are all looking for something. Everyone comes to Iona to look for something. It's a place of pilgrimage. Why did I think it would be any different? But in the evening, most people leave. The cruise ship leaves, people leave, and it becomes quiet again. So I had a day of this, and then I had another day of this. And the second day, I spent the entire day thinking, how can I get home? I need to go home. I'm done. I'm not experiencing a holy thin place because I've already had that in so many places on my trip. And I realized that that was pretty stupid. I didn't have the money to change all my ability to change anything. I was there for the week. And then I thought, what exactly is your problem, Beth? You have a beautiful room, the nicest room in the retreat center, overlooking the sea. Your window looks on the sea. The group of people you are with are actually wonderful. You never know in these situations, but they were great. The food was fabulous. There are places to walk, which I love to do, and beaches and sunshine, and a pub. So what is your problem? And at that moment, I was open to seeing Iona and the week and my time there in a totally different way. And guess what? I found what I didn't know I was looking for. I didn't realize that I needed something. I thought I was done, full, replete, ready to go home. What I needed was a community to share the stories of my trip thus far with. I needed a community to help talk about what we experienced in that whole I need a community to remind me about worship, as we worshiped day in and day out at all the different times. And I needed the beautiful remains of that beautiful abbey, where the ferns grow on the inside of the walls. We think we have wall problems. And I needed the stillness and the silence at sunset when everyone else went home. And I had an amazing experience the last night there when we went to the abbey. There were only about 20 of us there. And they don't light the abbey, the front of it, like we do with electricity. It is still in candlelight. And there were only a few of us. It was dark and cold and damp, Scotland. And it was a taizé service. And all it was word and music, word and music. And there, I felt completely opened to the sense of thousands of years of people worshiping in that very space. And that was amazing. So as I said, whenever you're planning a trip, traveling alone, there's no one else to blame. You've created the framework, you have to live through it, or make changes that can be quite radical. When things go wrong during that trip, or you make a mistake, or you think you've made a mistake, you need others to help you. You need a community around you to recognize what you're going through, to listen to your stories, to laugh with you, to drink scotch with you late at night. You need people, because if you just stay with your own thoughts and in that place, it can go to a very bad place. And also, you need to expect the unexpected. You all know what it's like when a flight's been delayed, or a ferry doesn't show up, or whatever. Your accommodation isn't what you expected. I had none of that in 5 weeks. It had been a perfect trip. But to find where I was and not enjoy it was really quite disconcerting. And so you need to be able to be open to finding the gifts that you find in that space, even when you least expect them, from places you least expect them. And I think that's what our gospel is about today. Jesus is traveling. He's in the region of Tyre, and he has been traveling for ages. He has been meeting people. He has been getting apostles and disciples to join him. He has been healing and teaching and praying over and over in all these communities, endlessly. And yet, as he's been traveling and planning and doing his own trip, guess what? He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He doesn't want to see anyone. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. You think? That's his whole mission, was to go and get people to listen to him. And all of a sudden, on this trip that he had planned, this ministry that he had set the context to, it was not exactly what he wanted. And then things go pretty badly wrong, you've got to admit, for Jesus in this gospel. Because a woman, not a Jewish woman, a Gentile woman, of Syrophoenician origin, asks him to heal her daughter. And he says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Many of you are parents. Many of you have cared for at least one other human in your life. And imagine if that was said to you. Imagine how that would hurt. Imagine how awful that is. So Jesus either was being cruel, being upset because people actually noticed him, or he made a mistake. And the woman calls him on it. A woman of the community says to him, "Well, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." The community surrounds Jesus and says, "You made a mistake, buddy. And I and my daughter are equal to anyone else, and she deserves healing as well." And to give Jesus credit, he heals the girl, and the woman goes home to great rejoicing. And then there's the unexpected. Yet again, someone else shows up, and there's a deaf man. And Jesus, probably because of his mistake and because of his experience of the woman holding him to account, He doesn't hesitate in the next story. He actually says to the man, Ephphatha, be opened. Be opened to the experience I give to you. Take what I am offering you. And what happens? Immediately, the man's eyes were open, ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. What a gift. Be open. Expect the unexpected. And Jesus did that out of being all the other experiences, not in isolation, but because all the other things happened. As our New Testament lesson says today, if we have faith, but we don't have works, well, there's not much point to the faith, is there? And faith can be tested. We can plan it and organize it. We can make mistakes. And we can be open to what it will do to us. My experience on Iona changed me. I am pretty sure that Jesus' experience with the Syrophoenician woman changed him. And isn't that a message of great hope for us in a world where we don't often see change and improvement? That even God can change. Jesus was able to change and be even more open to the spirit of healing that goes through him. Today we're going to sing, We Cannot Measure How You Heal. Gordon always tells me when we're singing a hymn that's got good preaching capabilities, which I appreciate. I want to read you the last verse. So some have come who need your help, and some have come to make amends, as hands which shaped and saved the world are present in the touch of friends. Lord, let your spirit meet us here to mend the body, mind, and soul, to disentangle peace from pain and make your broken people whole. May this be our adventure. Amen.